Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. It's the milk bar. Jason and Rob here with you this week. And you've had a good time. You've been gallivanted off all over the place, haven't you,
I've
sir?
Been all over the place,
you,
yes.
You were ill?
Yes,
and,
I was ill.
And then you reappeared? In fact, was it episode 101 we saw you on last?
I think it was,
it?
Yeah.
And now, obviously, you're away for 102. Back here for 103
yes.
this week.
Yes, I am.
And so you've been to Manchester?
Yeah, I have.
You've been referred to as Brad Pitt by some sort of casting agency.
That's true.
I did like Ian's little comment, but there we go on Twitter. But there, so we'll find out more about what you've been up to later on.
Definitely.
And you can tell us about the lovely T-shirt you're wearing.
I shall indeed. Yeah,
in a bit. Indeed. But first of all, coming up on the show today, we'll be hearing from Fabian de Galande, a tattoo artist from Europe. Well, he's living in Europe. I think he might be from somewhere a little further afield in New Zealand. Way.
It's a very exotic name.
I've had chance to have a chat with him. So we will find out more if we get to talk later.
Definitely.
We also will be talking to Mike Zeller. He's on a different island, the island of Guernsey. But he is moving back to Carlisle, and we'll be talking about Mike, his work in radio, etc. a bit later on. Chris Islett joins us to supply some music, and also we'll also be talking music with Ben Bowden. He's part of Sounds of Simon, a Simon and Garfunkel tribute troupe, who are coming to the Robin 2 in Bilston on the 26th of June. Hearing more from them, a bit of a sample of their music. But Rob, you watch Britain's Got Talent.
I do,
and are you a fan?
Yes, I am actually, yeah.
Well, I'm a fan of the young lady who's through to the final 15. She's our very own Jean Martin. Hello!
Hello, Jason!
Well, we were talking about this sort of thing back in January when you were in Play the Keyboards for us here in the Milk Bar at Molyneux. Now you're off in the big city lights. You're currently heading down to London to be on the show on Tuesday night.
Absolutely. I can't wait. I'm dying to step out onto that stage because the studio will be full of people and the judges will be sat there waiting and, oh, dear me, I shall wear them, I hope.
Oh, my fingers crossed. Is there a public vote as well for your appearance on Tuesday night?
Yes, the public hopefully will all be supporting me and I hope that they'll have an enjoyable time watching the performance.
So what's happened so far, then, if you just recap for us? Because you've gone through two rounds of auditions so far, haven't you?
Well, so far, yes. I've done Birmingham, Manchester and London.
Oh, three? I didn't realise there was that many.
Oh, yes, I've done three. And I've done the Birmingham one was very sort of, well, a basic one in front of two producers and a cameraman, and you just had to walk in cold and just sit there and play with your electric piano under your arm. But the other one was live, and then the last one was no audience at all. So it's quite strange, really, when you're trying to play to an empty room. You don't get quite the same feel as you do when you're playing to an audience.
It must be quite odd, particularly for someone who interacts so much with the audience. I know when I've seen you play live, it is very much a two-way thing, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, you've got to keep your mind on what you're doing, though.
Yeah.
Everything's gone wrong.
If it's embarrassing in front of that many people, but I'm sure it's going to be an absolutely brilliant performance for you on Tuesday, yes. The 31st of May. This means that you're heading down to the Big Smoke, but the telly program's on in the evening, but you've got to be at the studios at 8:30, haven't you?
I've got to be in the studios at 8:30, yes. Very early, so an early rise. I'm not used to getting up before 7 o'clock. There's only one to 7 o'clock on my clock. It's in the evening.
And what time is it? You are on TV.
In the evening, it starts at 7:30.
Yeah.
I've no idea what slot I'm on, but I just know I'm on tomorrow night.
And you can't talk about what you're going to play as yet, but you've got this far with a bit of boogie woogie, haven't you?
Oh yes, yes. I'm the boogie woogie. It'll be just.
So obviously it's a great show and stuff, and there's been a lot of talk about the new judges coming on this year. Have you got a favourite judge in particular, or do you like them all?
I like them all. I mean, they were so very complimentary to me when I played before, but of course Simon Cowell's joining them tomorrow. They're going to be fun to be with. I'm a bit nervous about Simon.
It's that stern stare sometimes, isn't it, that can be a bit daunting?
Yes. I think he sort of sits there with those eyes and he will entertain me.
I'm sure he will be amused by you. You've been doing loads of media as well. You've been in the press, on radio stations around the area. So really we need the whole of the Midlands to get behind you so the rest of the country know what they've got in the shape of Gene Martin.
Oh, yes, I hope so. I certainly hope so.
Fingers crossed you'll see your way through to the grand final and then onto the stage for the Royal Variety performance. It couldn't happen to a nicer person, Gene. You're absolutely lovely. And we've enjoyed, obviously, the times that we've spent having a sing-along with you here in the studio, even when it was done remotely by telephone. That was quite an odd one as well, wasn't it, the Christmas?
Yeah. We've had some fun, haven't we? Yes.
We have, and hopefully more to come. Will you still come back and see us when you're rich and famous?
Of course, I'll still come back and see you. Just let me get there first.
Okay.
Yes, if I meet the Queen, I'll be able to put my crown on or my tiara and I'll come in and strum to you.
Yeah, well, make sure she's downloading the podcast with you on as well, if you could. That'd be great.
All right.
Gene, I'm looking forward to your performance on TV. Tuesday night, ITV. Show starts at 7:30. Look out for Gene Martin. Please vote for Gene. That's what we want.
Absolutely wonderful. And thank all your listeners and just tell them to tune in.
Yeah. Will do, Gene. Catch you soon.
OK, Jason, cheers,
bye-bye. Ciao, bye. The Queen of the Keys, a proper celebrity. She's a star. And she's going to be really big on telly. I'm so looking forward to it. It's going to be absolutely great. Right, let's take some music from our featured artist this week. We mentioned a while ago we'd be hearing from Chris Eilis. This is a little tune called The Rope.
Oh,
Chris Islett with a rope. There we go. We'll be having a chat with Chris in a very short whilst time. Meanwhile, we are talking music with a gentleman called Ben Bowden. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Now, you're part of Sounds of Simon.
I am. I'm Paul Simon.
You're Paul Simon in the band. Now, how many of you are there in Sounds of Simon, for to start off?
There are five of us.
Which, hang on, there's Simon and Garfunkel. That was just the two. How does this one work out, then?
We need drums, bass and keyboards to get the full range of Simon and Garfunkel together, and also Paul Simon's solo career. So sometimes we go out just the two of us for smaller venues, and then the bigger ones get the full band treatment.
Uh-huh. Now, Rob and I were having a chat. Now, Rob, you're a bit young to understand much about Paul Simon's music, aren't you?
I am, yeah, I think so.
How old are you now?
22.
22. But there's someone like maybe Art Garfunkel's Bright Eyes. You know, that mean anything to you? You can call me Al from Paul Simon.
Oh, yeah, I know that one. Yeah, yeah.
We've got him there. Yeah,
eventually,
Ben,
yeah,
we've sorted. We know what he's dealing with here now. But what sort of audiences are you playing to? Is it, what sort of age range tend to come along to your gigs?
The full age range, shall we say.
they're bringing the grandkids now.
Yes, kind of. We've had some younger people there. And Paul Simon's got an album out this year, so he's still, he's 70 and still producing, you know, fantastic stuff. And we've also had people such as one woman who came up to me at the end of a show and said, "What are we going to do when old people like our audience die?" Was essentially the gist of her conversation. What are we going to do for an audience then? And I was quite depressed. But there are lots of young people coming into shows now. So and it's I think it's pretty universal. I mean, I'm not old enough to remember them the first time round.
That was going to be my next question.
Or the second or third.
How old are you then if you're playing a 70-year-old on stage? Which period are you looking at playing from?
I'm 32, so I'm sort of playing Paul, I think, I suppose it's just when he goes solo, really. That would be his early 30s. Mm-hmm. So that's where I kind of play Paul.
Okay, well, we'll have a quick listen to you in action then. First one we're going to take a bit of a listen to is Gracelands. Now, you are admittedly a bit of a Paul Simon nut. You love his music and his work, don't you?
I do, very much indeed.
Does this song hold any special meaning for you?
It does, actually. Not necessarily this song, but the album that it's from, the Gracelands album. I went away to university and I heard it, and the lady who became my girlfriend is now my wife. We found a shared love for the album, and I found out recently that we'd been trading lyrics and trying to compete whilst drunk, I think, as to who knew more lyrics from the album. And then I found out only recently that she actually, just to impress me, went out and bought the album after we'd had this conversation, so that she could know more lyrics and just to get in my good books. And I was touched by that. So this song, it never used to really, but it... Yeah, it kind of nicely reminds me of my wife, which is all very soppy.
That's nice. Sweet. That's sweet. It's lovely.
Beautiful nonetheless.
We like that. Let's take a listen of you doing Gracelands.
Thank you.
Mississippi Delta, shining like a national guitar. Following the river down the highway through the cradle of a civil war. I'm going to Graceland, Graceland, in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to Graceland. Poor boys and pilgrims with families, we are going to Graceland. My traveling companion is 9 years old. He's the child of my first marriage.
So Rob, you're probably not the right person to ask, but does that sound like Paul Simon to you?
I would think so, yeah. What, yeah. I'm
he
sure
knows
it does.
Nothing. No, he does actually sound very good. I mean, are you going for an impression, the look as well, or how do you work it when you're on stage, you guys?
We try and sound as much like them as possible. The harmonies are pretty good, so it's quite, once you sing the harmonies right, it's easy to sound like it. Steve, who plays Art in the show, has probably a harder job than I do because he has to sound like Art Garfunkel, but he does that particularly well. And yeah, we dress up like them. We go for the 1981 concert in Central Park look. So Steve has to wear a rather natty waistcoat and shirt, and I have to wear a suit and T-shirt combo, which is a bit tragic, but...
Well, yeah, I'm sure your parents wore that sort of stuff when they were, Paul's age.
Yeah.
Well, your dad, possibly, at least. So, the gig itself takes place on the 26th of June at the Robin 2 in Bilston. How much is it to come and see you?
It is £12 advance, £13 on the door to come and see us. The box office is on 01902 401 211. The support starts at 8 and we're on stage 8:45 sharp, and it's a full 2-hour show, taking in full range of Simon and Garfunkel's career together and Paul Simon's solo career.
Do you get a bit of a break in the middle?
We do. We get a bit of a break, and then we go and get changed, and I come back as solo Paul in a different costume.
So it sounds like you should be wearing a cape and your underpants on the inside of your trousers. Solo Paul.
Yeah.
But no. Okay, so you can call me Al. Did you know that one?
We do.
We
close the night with that, yeah. Oh, it's a brilliant one. Mm-hmm. Gracelands is a wonderful album, so... Mm-hmm.
Gets all the hands waving and everything.
It does, yeah, it's very good.
Well, have a great gig. Give us your actual website in case people aren't around the Bilston and Wolverhampton areas and want to come along and see you somewhere else.
Okay, the website is www.soundsofsimon.co.uk.
So soundsofsimon.co.uk, and Screaming Children in the Background optional.
Screaming Children in the Background are optional. That's my he can now... my son can see a picture of Simon and Garfunkel and ask if it's Daddy and Steve.
That's sweet. That's a nice way of getting it wrong. Right, to play us out, we're going to take a little listen to America and see how this one sounds.
On the same note as with Graceland, my wife and I have in fact counted the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike. So you've chosen the two songs from the set that have kind of personal links to me, and it's beautiful. So thank you for choosing those two.
No problem at all. Have a great gig on the 26th of June at the Robin 2 in Bilston. Once again, that box office. Office number 01902 401 211, and the Robin's an absolutely brilliant venue, so well worth getting yourself down there. There's some great people performing, and who do you support as well whilst we're on? Or do you not have details at the moment?
I don't have details at the moment, but I should know.
It's going to be someone good, isn't it? Otherwise it wouldn't
it
be
is.
Having them down there.
Yeah, no, it's been organised by the venue, but the venue got great taste in music because they booked us.
Right,
so they must be brilliant.
Mike's a brilliant promoter down there. Mike Hamlet is top bloke, so well worth getting down there and either playing or seeing somebody at Bilston's Robin too. Ben, thank you for joining us.
No, thank you for inviting me.
Cheers,
wonderful.
No problem.
Cheers,
so have a now, bye.
Take care, bye-bye.
Sounds of Simon doing Paul Simon's America. And it's a different feel, isn't it? It's a load of Paul Simon, so it's very easy listening. And I'm with Art Garfunkel as well.
Yeah.
But it's still classic songs, and they do bring up a lot of emotion. As Ben was saying, those two songs mean a lot to him. But you can see why that would actually happen with some of the music.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But there we go. Right, let's move back to our featured musician of the day, Chris Eilert, who hopefully now joins us on the phone by the magic of Skype. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thanks.
Now, tell us a bit about your music and where you're based, first of all.
Okay, I'm actually based in South London nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I
happens to be in Leicester. And funny you should talk about the Robin 2, the venue, because I was a sound engineer for Shawaddy Waddy for a few years.
Yeah.
So I've been there plenty of times with them. It's a great little venue. Love it.
Now, I had the honour of introducing Shawaddy Waddy when they played the Brood Music Festival a couple of years back. And it was an amazing experience, being able to actually go out there in front of 1,200 people and go, "Ladies and gentlemen, Shawaddy Waddy!" Because they were someone I saw, probably one of the first bands I saw on Top of the Pops as a kid, but there we go. I'm sure my age now. But,
still going strong.
Well, more or less, give or take failing voices and old age, but they're filling venues and playing to the crowds, and they're absolutely loving it, aren't they?
Yeah, and great guys too, really great guys.
So what's going on with your music then? Because you've got a bit of an indie rock feel, but having had a quick listen through the tunes you popped over to me, there's a bit of a raw edge to some of it as well.
Yeah, it's, I suppose it's fairly varied. The songs, I suppose, that I sent you span the last sort of 6 or 7 years, really. The Fascinate by Hate, that was from a... I still do it solo, but it's from a band called Vitriol ID that I formed. And that again was recorded in 2006, I think. Yeah. A lot of material there over the last, 10 years really.
Yeah.
But I've had a bit of a break from it and moved down to London. And I'm just getting back to it now, and it got played on XFM a couple of weeks ago. So it's going quite fast already. It's pretty cool.
That's not bad at all. How do you go about getting something played on XFM like that? You just keep bombarding them with tracks until they give in?
No, far from it in this case. I made up my mind not to do that. Yeah, I kind of I wanted things to grow quite organically. Mm-hmm. And one of the DJs from XFN got hold of a track and really liked it, really liked the title as well. I won't mention it on this show, but I'll email you about it afterwards. And Eddie Temple Morris stood in for John Kennedy, who does the Exposure show.
Yeah.
And he got hold of it, and he said, "Oh, if John won't play it, I'm going to play it." He was really into it. So it was fantastic. And there's been a bit of follow up from that, a few more plays and stuff. So fingers crossed, things are moving already.
Well, that's all good news. But so a bit of odd with a 6 year break, but keep going at it, and it's great to get that sort of exposure.
Yeah, I will be. I'm just putting a band together so I can go out and do some shows right now.
So, Chris, obviously you've been on XFM already, which is a great start. Where are you hoping to head to in the near future? Like, what are you hoping to get onto next?
Well, obviously, pushing for more radio play to sort of... it's quite hard to get people down to gigs, as you probably know. So I'm kind of hoping to follow up on the radio play and get a few more people down to the gigs when I actually start going out there properly. Mm-hmm. At the moment, it's just open mic nights, just keeping my hand in. And later on in the year, there's a possibility I'll be going over to LA to do some shows over there. So again, I have to attack the radio first. So it's quite a busy time at the moment. That and I run a web design company as well. It all, it means I'm not getting much sleep at the moment.
But it does mean you get a really nice website for your own work and your band once it all comes together. Do you tend to find it's a good crossover for you to be able to do this sort of thing and to showcase what you can do in both areas?
Yeah, that's part of the reason I started. I learned web design is because I figured going out and playing all around the country seems to be the old way of doing it. Not many people are picking up fans that way. Uh-huh. I mean, it's more internet-based now. So that was part of the reason for taking the break.
Now, how different do you find, though, being in London and playing open mic sessions down there as opposed to your time in Leicester? I used to work over in Leicester in industry and commute backwards and forwards, but there was a really vibrant music scene. Was it Princess Charlotte, one of the main venues people used to love to go along to down there?
That's right. Unfortunately, it closed a couple of years ago now. They just couldn't afford to keep running it, I think. And it seems to be the case all across the country that a lot of the really good venues of yesteryear are closing. But I think they've had a couple of other venues open in the last year or so. I think is there an O2 there now, I think, maybe? But the Leicester music scene is really healthy, really vibrant, and a lot of people work together, albeit in various niches and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there are certain cliques there, but I do think it's a positive vibe. And I think you can almost you know, some of the groups you can almost hark back to the kind of Manchester days and Liverpool days where all the bands work together and there's certain sounds emanating from the city. So that's great. And obviously London is entirely different because it's massive and, you know, there are that many more people and it's more anonymous, I suppose, in London. Mm-hmm. But again, I think in London you get more people just going to see what's going on as opposed to having to drag all your mates down and rely on them all the time. Yeah. So there is a difference, but I think both things are positive.
Yeah, I mean, what we've got going in Wolverhampton, some great venues here, whether it be the Slave Dreams you're looking at or you know, the Ball from or Civic Halls if you're looking at bigger bands. But I know, so again, back to Leicester, there's a big event in Saffron Park that was a music festival every year, and the regions have that. It tends to be something that you see on a different scale in London as well. So do you have to prepare yourself for a different kind of venue and look at the set that you're playing very differently to when you're back in the Midlands?
Yeah, I mean, I think the London venues, they have to, but they take things a lot more seriously. And there's a lot more pay-to-play venues or promoters in London, which I personally don't agree with. I can see why they have to do it, but I think the term promoter is used very loosely down here. Mm. Whereas back in Leicester, I think promoters, you know, they don't really make money from shows. They try and make sure that the bands have a good time and a good experience and hopefully walk out with at least their, you know, their diesel money in their pocket.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, it's swings and roundabouts, isn't it? And London, obviously, it's the place to play. So if you're gonna do that, you're gonna have to sacrifice it, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. At least living down there, you haven't got to pay for quite so much of the fuel. It's just your Oyster card that has to be topped up.
Well, this is it, and this is one of the good reasons about being solo. But I do miss playing with other musicians now.
Well, what is your web address if people do want to find out more?
Okay, it's Chris Eilert. ILETT.com.
ChrisEilert.com. Check out the music, check out the man, and you can also find out about forthcoming gigs, venues, and finally, when you get the band together, what it's going to be called and what that website will be then, I suppose, as well.
It'll be the same web address. It'll just be me solo.
Okay. Well, Fascinated by Hate was one you mentioned earlier on. That's the second tune we're going to take from you on the show today. You gave us a brief look at it a little earlier, but yeah. How would you really introduce this one to somebody who hadn't heard your music before?
I think Kerrang called it an acerbic revenge anthem with riff and hook to die for.
Okay, we shall see what we read to it afterwards. Oh, we won't be that colourful with our language. Yeah, we like that. But thanks for joining us. Good to talk to you. And keep making the music because it's sounding mighty fine from where we're sitting.
Thanks, Jason. I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers. Catch you soon. Cheers, for now. Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
Rob, enjoy that one?
I did.
Yeah. You said we were going to enjoy it. Yeah, we're not going to be as colourful with the discussion on the music as the guys from Kerrang, but certainly Chris Eilert, absolutely loving your music. Now, our next guest is somebody who was at the railway station at the same time as me when I was passing through Rotterdam on the way back from Holland a week ago Friday.
Okay.
And we saw him on Facebook and discovered he's an absolutely fabulous tattoo artist. His first name is Fabian. Fabian, how do you pronounce your surname, mate?
My surname is De Gaillon.
I can't do it justice.
It's French, but I live in Australia.
But at the moment, I'm calling you on a German number, and when we met via Facebook, you were in Holland.
Yes, that's right.
You're travelling the world.
I'm travelling through Europe at the moment, attending a few conventions and also doing guest spots in Europe. And, after that, I'm off to America as well.
Well, I mean, you're an internationally renowned tattoo artist, and having seen your work, I mean, it is just true art. It's absolute class. And it must be really difficult for you, because every time you do a piece, you have to leave it with the person who paid you for it. You can't ever keep any of your own artwork, can you?
No, not really.
No. So tell us about how you got into the world of tattooing.
Just like everybody else, really. I was getting tattooed, and then I started drawing my tattoos, and from there, like, people started liking my tattoos, and yeah, got a job in tattoo shop, really.
So have you got a personal favorite tattoo they've got on yourself?
At the moment, they all mean something to me, so I like them all.
So when you're actually going ahead to get something done yourself, who do you go to?
Yeah. Well, for myself, I go to my friends. Like, they don't need to be the best artist in the world. I just need to have, like, a good connection with them. Yeah. And from there, like, we start, like, talking about ideas. And yeah, I've got already people that I know I'm going to get tattooed by. But at the moment, I still don't know what I'm getting.
Uh-huh.
And it's just a matter of, like, getting with them and start talking about life, really. And then we decide later what we're getting.
Now, do you tend to have a theme in your work, though, when you're actually doing tattooing on other people?
Not so much a theme, but, like, I think I've got a style going on, and that's what people like about my tattoos, and I don't have to actually, like, do only one type of tattooing. Like, what I mean by that is I don't need to do only neo-traditional or realistic or Japanese. I tend to do everything, but at the end, people still know that I did it. I've got my own twist to it.
Which is good, because we often see people with tattoos, and we are approaching the summer, so there's more going to be on display. And it's either something that's a bit tribal, a bit grungy and metally. Yeah. And sometimes when you see people who've had an entire sleeve done, you wonder quite where they were going with it, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. Like, people tend to get tattooed because it's fashionable, and they don't really look into it too much, And yeah, I tend to only want to tattoo people that are sort of educated about it. So for me, like when someone wants a tribal, well, I try to tell them, like, you know, you've got other things you can do. You don't need to do only tribal. But if that's what they want at the end, well, I'm happy to do tribal as well, you know.
But it is actually a project you talk through with them. So what does it? How does it work from start to finish? First of all, how on earth does someone find you and someone of your calibre to get you to do their tattooing?
Most people actually contact me via Facebook. And if they come to me or if I'm around the area where they actually are, then we sort of like, they send me some ideas, some picture reference, and then they need to give me like the freedom to do what I want, because mm-hmm. I found that people that have too much of an idea of exactly what they want tend to block me in my freedom, and at the end I'm not happy with the tattoo. So it's better like they give me all the freedom of doing what I want, and at the end they really enjoy it too. Like they like I can do like some of the best tattoos for them, you know, if they just trust me.
Mm-hmm. But you talk to them, you then come up to the design, and some of that work will be done together probably, won't it? So you have a final design, and then that's when the ink goes on.
Yeah, like a theme and an area, like, because tattoos have to flow with the body. So basically, if they don't have, like, if they don't tell me where on the body it's going to go, I tend to do, like, a basic design, but it would flow better if I know where it's going.
You mentioned earlier about that you've got your own personal style, which you like to do. Is it like, what's the most unusual tattoo you've had to give out, if it's clean, of course?
Most unusual, probably. I've done all the stupid tattoos, you know, like your mum's name on your bum, or all those ones when I was an apprentice. But the most unusual could have been, they're kind of like all unusual at the end of the day, you know. I tattooed the back of a head, I tattooed the foot, like at the bottom of the foot. I tattooed hands, I tattooed girls' pubic area, you know, like all them.
You're currently on tour, as it were, various conferences. Yep. Where in the world are you heading to next in the States? So if people are travelling around and so you want to actually get a tattoo done by yourself, what is the tour like?
My next stop would be LA and Vegas, but I hope, like, because I don't have a working visa in America, I hope people from America are not listening to that station. So, but I will do some convention there where I'm actually not going to work, but I'm going to go and check out some of my friends and yeah, party pretty much. In a month of from now, I'll be back in Australia,
uh-huh.
And then I'll be back in the UK in about, say, 2 or 3 months from now.
So you really are traveling the world rather a lot.
Yeah, I'm traveling a lot. Like, it's not like at the beginning, it was just like a lifestyle, like I want to travel, so tattooing is a good job to travel around. But now it's become like more like a necessity. Like when each time I go home, I feel bored after a month, so I have to sort of keep myself occupied by traveling. And I have a lot of customers around the world that I have big decent progress that I still have to finish.
Uh-huh.
That's why I'm traveling pretty much.
And how much does it cost when it comes to a tattoo from yourself? On average,
tattoos. Well, usually I do big tattoos, so I actually charge by the day. I do a day, full day tattoo, and in Australia you would pay something like $1,200 Australian dollars for a full day.
Yeah.
But sometimes people, they just require like a 4 or 5 hour tattoo, so I could sometimes book 2 people for a day. And you would be looking at around $600 Australian. So it's about I'd say in euro it'd be €350-400, and in pounds I've got no idea.
It's probably about £300. It's a piece of art that's going to stay with you for the rest of your life, isn't it?
Yeah. That's why I wanted something like bigger tattoo. So actually, you have time to grow in them, and as well, like, you know, with age the tattoos start fading a little bit, and some lines start to blur. So the bigger tattoo, you can always like touch them up as you go, you know, and expand to a bigger tattoo in the long run. But I mean, people who go for the bigger tattoo, they know that they want a bigger tattoo. You know, like people who want a smaller tattoo, they're not sure if they want a tattoo. So they tend to regret them. There's more involvement in a bigger tattoo.
Yep, so there's more planning and more thought goes into it. So you know you're getting something which you actually want. Well, Fabian, thank you for joining us. Have you got a website that we can direct people to see your work?
More on Facebook, but I don't have a website at the moment. I'm still working on that, but between travel and answering on my emails and catching up with life, it's kind of hard to make time to build a website.
So search for you on Facebook, Fabian, FabianDeGailLande is the spelling.
That's right, or Fab's Tattoo, in one word.
Fab's Tattoo, and that's the other way of finding you.
Yep.
Well, thank you for joining us. You've taken a break from tattooing, haven't you? You're halfway through working on somebody at the moment?
Yeah, I'm almost finished. I'm about 10, 20 minutes away from finishing a tattoo right now.
Okay, well, enjoy that one. I'm sure your customer will too. And thank you so much for joining us. Great to speak to you.
Thank you, mate.
Cheers. Bye for now.
Yeah, bye.
Right, so Rob, have you got any tattoos?
I haven't, no.
Right, he's been in the UK in 2 to 3 months. Start saving now. I think it'd be well worth getting something done, don't you?
Yeah, why not? Why not, say? Why not?
We shall see what happens. I don't know. Right, let's take our final tune from our featured artist of the day. Once again, Chris Islett performs for us. This is The Drive. Cloud a bit of notes. And Chris Eilert fades away with the third and final song we're taking from him. That's The Drive. Rob, and again, bit of a toe-tapper for you there.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. The back tune, it was really, really good.
It's
very
it's,
catchy.
It's good to hear something different. We do like our new music here in the Mobile Podcast, so it's nice to hear it. And we do like occasionally talking to some of my friends, some of my old friends, someone I've just been totting up. I've known you now, Mr. Zeller, for 14 years, I think, isn't it?
You're joking. 14 years?
Yeah, Mike Zeller, formerly of 107.7 The Wolf, hence the Wolverhampton connection, how I know you. Pitchside announcer, par excellence, so joins me here at Molyneux each match day. And, yeah, it's 1997 The Wolf went on air, didn't it?
Blimey. Yes, you're absolutely right on that score, but I would... You forget how time flies. 14 years.
14.
That's amazing.
It's quite frightening. And you've moved around a bit since then, haven't you?
Yes, I've been hither and beyond. I've been to places like Coventry, and which we'll gloss over
that, yeah. Birmingham was good. You enjoyed Hart?
I enjoyed Hart and Birmingham. I had 6 very happy years. That was brilliant. And as I speak to you now, I am currently, but coming to the end of, my time in Guernsey.
Where have you been, programme controller? And you've been there, you were employed to do a job, you've done it, and now you're coming back to the mainland, haven't you?
In a nutshell, yeah, absolutely. I kind of went in to run Island FM, which is the only commercial radio station on Guernsey, because it's not that big. but even so, thankfully, even with all of the other stations available, the national stations and the local BBC here, it's still the market-leading radio station here. And they gave me a specific job to do, and I'm delighted to say that I think I've done that. And after 16 months, I'm returning to the mainland to take up a job with the BBC.
Because that's the weird thing about Guernsey, for starters, isn't it? Because as an outsider, you have to get permission to live there.
Yes. You have to have what's called a housing licence. They call it a housing licence, but it's basically a work permit. And until they grant that to you, you can't do anything. Any job that comes up here in Guernsey has to be advertised locally. You have to, which, to be fair, is I've got no issue with. You have to try and find a local to take the position. And if you can't do that, then you're allowed to advertise it externally.
Uh-huh. But so you were never going to be there really long term unless you became mega rich and decided to buy a small plot of land?
Yeah, basically, I would be allowed to. I joined in February of last year, so February 2010. And my housing licence says I had to leave Guernsey by, I think it was the 15th of February 2015. Can apply for an extension to the licence, but in reality, those extensions are very few and far between. So I was basically in Guernsey for a maximum of 5 years, and then they would have literally escorted me to the airport or the harbour and waved me goodbye.
Now, Mike, I'm a aspiring young journalist, technically. So what do you think would be the best way for someone like me to get into the industry as big as the BBC?
Bearing in mind, it's taken Mike a hell of a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just about to say it has taken me so long that I'm not sure I'm the best person to answer that question. I think if you're an aspiring young journalist, as you say, if you get your journalistic qualifications, the Beeb love journalists. They a lot of their ethos is based on news and journalism. So I think if you can get any number of as much experience under your belt as possible, and as many journalistic qualifications recognised by maybe the NUJ and by the BBC themselves, and I think if you can do that, you won't go far wrong.
So it's about working hard, though, isn't it, and getting out there, and probably having to do a lot of work for nothing in that sort of situation.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I turned 40 in September, and I actually went and did a day's work experience just before I came out to Island FM. So I think I was probably 38, and I did work experience at a BBC local radio station just because I wanted to find out what it was like and get a feel for it. And that was, I had to use a day's holiday from the job I was doing at the time. But yeah, it was just about networking, getting out there and finding out a bit more about it. So volunteering is definitely the way to go.
Now, although we've sort of adopted you in Wolverhampton because you've been to and from the Wolf over the years, obviously you work with the Wolves and the football team are very dear to your heart, in your heart.
Yeah.
Because when you first came to Wolverhampton, the first thing you did was come to a Wolves match, wasn't it?
Yes, I think it was. I remember it was a 1-1 draw and Steve Bull scored for Wolves. I do remember that. And I think that was literally the very first day I was in Wolverhampton. So, yeah, the first thing I did was... was make a beeline for Molineux and take in a game, absolutely.
But you're a football fan throughout as well, because in the PA team we do lovingly refer to your hometown club as Mike Zeller's Carlisle. But you are heading back to Carlisle, and what's it like as a bit of a homecoming? Will there be ticker tape parades?
I think my mum might make a special meal, but I think that's probably as far as it's going to go, to be honest with you. But you're right, it is going back up to Carlisle. It's I haven't been there literally for years, because as you rightly said earlier on, Jase, I've kind of moved around and gone to the back of beyond and the Channel Islands and what have you. So it is kind of my career, if you like, has come full circle. But I think because I've been away from Carlisle so long, far from there being a ticker tape, I think it's more I'm going to have to go around and explain exactly who I am. And never mind, whoa, it'll be more like who?
But you are going to the BBC. It's actually called BBC Radio Carlisle, isn't it, probably?
Radio Cumbria.
BBC Radio Cumbria, sorry. And that's going to be quite a change for you up there. And the BBC ethos, I think they have the faders the right way around on the desk now. They don't have them upside down still. What's it going to be like for you, your first day in the studios at the BBC?
Scary. Really, really scary. As we stand here now, I don't mind admitting to you I'm nervous, because the kind of radio I've done it for 21 years. And although you're never complacent, I kind of get it now. I think I'm kind of across what happens in my job. And I'm about to go and work, for the BBC, which is different. There's a lot more speech. There's a lot more, shall we say, kind of meatier, weightier content. You know, some of it's fun, but some of it is very much, here's a major issue which the council need to deal with, and there's two sides of it, and we need to interview Councillor X and opposition person Y, and it literally is going to be a whole new ball game for me. So certainly that very first day, as you said, when I sit down in the studio, palms are going to be sweating. There's no doubt about that.
Well, having been there and done that sort of thing for BBC WM on a Sunday night programme over the years, it is quite an experience when you're sitting there talking to someone. In fact, I was there during the Second Gulf War, and you're there talking about really big issues. And Guernsey's been a good preparation for you for that, because there's been a lot of things which affected the islanders that you would never have thought to talk about on breakfast until you got down there.
I think you're absolutely right, Jason. I think it has been a bit of a learning curve for me. It's probably eased me into it in a slightly gentler way than maybe just coming from a normal commercial background would have done. But you're right, your example about the Gulf War, I mean, the stories don't come much more serious than something like that. And that really is going to be, for me, it's going to be, right, all of a sudden I'm not now talking about the X Factor. Nobody cares really about what's happening with Cheryl Cole or whoever. It really is, well, this is a big issue in for me it's going to be in Cumbria, and it actually matters to people. It's not a glib thing that's going on. It actually is, it could be affecting people's lives, and to actually have to think about that and convey that and present that, broadcast that, is going to be a challenge. But I think it's, like I said, having done commercial radio, which has been brilliant and I've loved it, and who says I won't go back to it, but having done that for 21 years, I think I'm quite looking forward to a different challenge and a weightier challenge, which hopefully the BBC will give me.
Now, I know you've only just started, you're only about to start a new job, but what would be your dream role at the BBC? If you could do anything at all in the company, what would it be?
Oh, there's a question.
I see him as Director General. Give it 5 years.
I don't know.
Then I'll be asked for a job.
The weird thing is, you say that, but I think that I've been a manager now in commercial radio for probably about 10 years now, and I'm going to go back to just being a presenter. So I think what would be my dream job, without aiming too high, I think my dream job would probably to be able to move through the ranks at the BBC and become a manager once again and be able to really influence and shape the output. And kind of one of the things I love about my roles in commercial radio that I've had is I love bringing through new talent. I love coaching and really seeing young presenters come through and develop and really become little stars. And I'm not going to be able to do that just purely because that's not going to be my role at the BBC. So I think getting myself where I could do that, I could kind of shape talent and really have an influence on the output would be probably my dream role within the BBC. So probably running a BBC local radio station would be one of my dream roles, I think.
Well, you never know. You're taking the first steps towards that sort of thing by joining the BBC Carlisle. Good luck with it, Mike. Have a great time up there. And you've got, say, a few breakfast shows left on the island. Are they giving you a bit of a send-off down there?
Yes, I think they are planning to take me out and make sure that I never, ever forget Guernsey. That's going to be happening later on this week, so looking forward to that.
Well, have a great time with that one. I must try and get on your breakfast show before you head off.
Believe me, we will sort that out.
Okay.
I'll be in touch and we'll get you on, definitely.
We shall talk. I shall pretend to be from somewhere. Because it's not actually just called an island. What do they call it? It's got a name, hasn't it?
It's actually called the Bailiwick of Guernsey. What bailiwick means, bailiwick actually means a group of islands. So we, as Island FM, broadcast to the bailiwick. So we broadcast to Guernsey, of course, Alderney, and Sark, and they are the three islands which, along with Guernsey, make up the bailiwick.
It's all very confusing, and it's their way of life down there. But you'll be heading back to the north west of England, almost Scotland, pretty much up there. But you'll be doing your stuff and on air during June.
Yes, I finish on the 3rd of June here in Guernsey, and I start at the Beeb. I think that they've actually brought it forward, which wasn't scary in any way, shape, or form. They've actually brought it forward by a week, so I think it is the back end of June. I think it's the 27th of June is my first day on air with the Beeb, so I've got literally, I think it's about 3 weeks between jobs, and I've got to go up there and obviously meet the team and learn the desk, and as you say, you know, the faders, the right way up and things like that. So even that's going to be going to be a little bit difficult to begin with, but you know, it's all a challenge.
It'll be good for you, I'm sure, and you're only 40, you can still cope with it. The mine hasn't gone yet.
I'm not 40 yet. Well, I'm hanging on to my 30s by my fingernails.
That's the way to do it. Mike Zeller, thank you for joining us. I look forward to hopefully seeing you back at Molineux for football next season as well.
That would be lovely. I'm just waiting for the call from you, Jace, to confirm that.
We'll speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon,
Jace. Okay, cheers, Mike. Thanks,
cheers, mate.
Take care. Bye.
Cheers, bye.
So you fancy a job at the BBC next, do you?
Yeah, well, I'm still...
I know you're doing your freelance stuff for him, but you would like to be on an air journal.
Oh, full-time would be fantastic, yeah. To do what might be doing, that would just be brilliant to do, but long way to go till there. But, you know, keep working away. It'll happen.
That's the way to do it. And then do tell us about your T-shirt, because you're wearing a T-shirt which doesn't fit you even slightly at all.
No, it's I think it's triple XL, I think, is the official... sizing for it, yeah.
And you're a sensible size and shape, so it's not really doing you a lot of good. So explain where you found this.
Well, I went to Manchester yesterday to a charity gig hosted by Jason Manford, who former One Show fame,
yeah.
And he was doing like a little gig for a little lad called Joe, who he's got to know and stuff, who's got autism. Uh-huh. So he's organised a big charity gig for them, and he's got a load of different new comedians, some old comedians. The famous Jimmy Cricket was there. Have you ever heard of Jimmy Cricket?
I've seen him live.
Yeah, he came in. I've never heard of him before.
I saw him in Stanton last year. He used to be on telly when I was a child.
Oh, really?
Yes.
But, yeah, so there are all sorts of these different comedians, young and new, and they're really great. But me and my brother got there a little bit too early, and we ended up in Manchester City Centre, I think, about 1:30, thinking, what should we do? I thought, I know, the League One player final's on today, so we'll go to that. So we walked to the ticket office, I said, yeah, here's your tickets. We went in, and I was a Huddersfield fan for the day.
Okay, well, there you go. And the heads of the T-shirt, they gave you a Huddersfield T-shirt for being there.
Yeah, it was basically the chairman came up with the idea where he wanted all the Huddersfield fans dressed in blue and white, so blue and white stripes taking over Old Trafford, so it all looked really great for the players, and, you know, to go out and see that would be so inspiring for the games.
You're not normally a fan of blue and white stripes, are you?
I'm not, no, it's not my colour at all usually.
But on this occasion, and you're wearing the T-shirt for us tonight.
I am indeed. It's way too big, but I thought, well, since they lost, I thought I'll try and support them as much as I could.
You do your bit after the event.
Yeah.
Well, what else you got going on? Because you're off holidaying in Magaluf.
I'm flying out this Thursday evening, so I'm very much looking forward to that.
Holiday with the lads or family?
Yes, it's the lads. I won't be the family in Magaluf. But,
well, you could take your brother with you.
I could take my brother with me, you're right. But yes, me and the lads are off there in a few days, so I'm looking forward to that.
Watch out, Magaluf. We warn you now.
The Wolves boys.
Rob is coming.
Yes.
Well, have a good time out there, so you won't be with us next week.
Unfortunately, I won't, but I'll be back the week after.
Okay, just send a postcard or something.
Yeah, I will do, yeah.
Find an insect cafe. We'll get you on Skype.
Yes.
See what state you're in. That could be amusing.
Yeah, that could go badly wrong, actually.
thing, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
So we won't do that. But we will be back for episode 104 next week here in the Milk Bar. Catch you then. Ta-ra for now.
Cheers.
Goodbye from the Milk Bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Yeah.